Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, now let me turn to my guest, who is patiently waiting for me to introduce her, because she is here to talk about a very important topic, and that is awareness of diabetes. And it's a big issue in our community and in our population. And so Benny Fisk is here from San Juan Regional Medical Center. And let me turn on the right camera and the right microphone. Benny, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in this morning. I appreciate you being here. And so you are the Diabetes Education Department Manager at San Juan Regional Medical Center. And the hospital does a lot of things to help people manage their diabetes, which we'll be talking about this morning. But let's just start about talking about what diabetes is and how big a problem it is in our area. I know, unfortunately, we rank among some of the highest in the country, right, for having cases of diabetes.
We do, Scott. We really nationwide, about 30 million people are affected with diabetes, which is about 9% of the population there. 81 million people are pre-diabetic, meaning that their blood sugars are higher than the normal range, but not quite at that diabetic range, and we can talk about that in a little bit.
Right, okay.
But here in San Juan County, really, we rank 13.6% of the population is diabetic, so much higher than the national average and the state average. San Juan County is, based on our community health assessment that's done every few years. It's the seventh leading cause of death nationwide, and the seventh leading cause of death in San Juan County. Now, that's diabetes-related complications alone, or diabetes-related deaths. There are also a lot of complications associated with diabetes that also increases risk of death. So heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, those are rank in the top 10 leading cause of death nationwide as well. And so diabetes increases the risk of all of those significantly.
Got you. And so that's why it's so very important, I guess, to really know your health. If you are at risk of developing diabetes, if you are in this pre-diabetes condition, why it's so important to kind of know about it and maybe work to reverse that.
Correct.
That can be done, right?
And it can. There's a lot of things that people can do. Once somebody is diabetic, they're diabetic. But there's a lot of lifestyle changes and modifications that can be made. One, to prevent the progression of diabetes for pre-diabetic patients, and then to prolong any complications and reduce the risk of those long-term complications in diabetic patients. And, you know, that really is lifestyle modifications, good diet, controlling your blood sugars, diet and exercise. I mean, really all of those standard healthy habits that you know, we should do to stay healthy.
Exactly. Which means it's not really necessarily a big change necessarily for some people, just depending on how active that they are, I know. Mm-hmm. Remind us again the differences between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, because I know some people use those terms interchangeably and they're not. They're very different.
They're very, very different. So type 1 diabetes, in the past, it used to be associated with, it was called juvenile onset diabetes. They've changed the terminology, but type 1 diabetes really is, there's damage to the cells in the body that produce insulin. Now, insulin's a hormone that helps your body use the glucose, the sugar, for your cells, for energy. And so in type 1 diabetes, those cells are damaged and the body no longer produces insulin. So type 1 diabetics are required to be on insulin for the rest of their lives in order to, you know,
help that along, I guess, help that process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's type 1 diabetes. There's a lot of, they think type 1 diabetes is maybe a type of autoimmune disease in a sense. And there is some familial links with that one.
I see. Genetics, things like that. Right.
Type 2 diabetes is caused either by your body not producing enough insulin, or really it's a resistance to the insulin your body produces. So people that live in prolonged states of high blood sugar their body kind of becomes desensitized to it. Their pancreas gets tired, and so they don't produce enough insulin, or and their body can't use it effectively. So the sugar stays in their system and their bloodstream, and that's really what causes the long term damage to really blood vessels. And so your large blood vessels, and that's where you get cardiovascular disease as one of the major complications. But also some of your smaller blood vessels, so blood vessels in your eyes. That's what causes the blindness associated right. with diabetes, or the small vessels in your kidneys, and that's what leads to kidney failure as a result of diabetes.
I see. So, and then that explains kind of the complications that you talked about with diabetes, because then when we talk about people dying from complications of diabetes, this is usually what happens mm-hmm. in many cases, correct? Mm-hmm. It's heart condition or mm-hmm. kidney failure or things like mm-hmm. that.
Stroke. So heart disease is the leading cause of death nationwide. Right. And so, yes, diabetes increases a person's risk of heart disease significantly, 2 to 5 times, something like that. And then stroke is the third leading cause, which, once again, if you are damaging the vessels, then diabetes increases your risk of stroke. And then kidney disease is like the number 9th killer or something. And really, it's like 40 to 60% of people with kidney disease, it's a direct result of diabetes and uncontrolled diabetes.
I see. And so again, what we're talking about mostly is this type 2 mm-hmm. diabetes,
yes.
right? And that's kind of what we're, so when we say diabetes, we really mean type 2.
Yes, type 2 diabetes, because that really is what we can control. Type right. 1 diabetics, they can only control their diabetes through insulin.
Right.
That's what has to happen. Type 2 diabetes, there's a lot of things that people can do. Once again, lifestyle modifications, managing their A1C levels, which is a measurement of, you know, kind of how much sugar is in the bloodstream over like a 3-month period.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives a really good indication about how well controlled somebody is. And it's kind of the gold standard for diagnosis of diabetes.
Right.
And so monitoring your A1C levels and keeping them below the recommended range, which diabetes diagnosis is at 6.5 of an A1C, but really the ADA recommends less than 7 to reduce the risks of complications of diabetes. Active,
right,
you know,
right.
getting
moving.
At least, you know,
yeah.
150 minutes of physical activity a week, which is standard for any healthy lifestyle.
Right.
Minimizing healthy diet, minimizing excessive carbohydrates really is kind of the gold standard. Medication management. So some patients that are type 2 diabetics do have to take oral medication to help control it, and it impacts the body different ways. Some, you know, helps the body use the insulin better. Some helps release, you know, sugar mm-hmm. at appropriate times, or prevent sugar from being released inappropriately. Some type 2 diabetic patients do end up on insulin as a way to manage it if they really can't get it under control with diet, exercise, or oral medication.
Right. But I would imagine for folks that do try to get control of their lifestyle and make some of these changes, because of the other things that are connected maybe to diabetes, it also improves those other mm-hmm. health issues that they may be mm-hmm. suffering from, overweight, mm-hmm. And you know, heart strain, all those types of things, correct?
Mm-hmm. The high cholesterol, anything
right.
that increases your risk of, you know, heart disease,
yeah.
which really is, once again, the number one killer.
But it helps in all those areas,
but
too.
But it helps in all those areas. I mean, it's it helps with quality of life. I mean,
sure, of course.
There's a lot of talk about that, and that really is why we're here, you know, to live a quality life. And so
right.
Really the simple lifestyle modifications will help manage it. And, you know, sometimes people just don't know the resources that are available to them or what they can do.
Right. And I want to ask you about those as well, because I know we have a lot here locally, which is important to discuss as well. Now, in the past, it seems like diabetes patients have been older, and maybe as they get less active and things like that. But are we seeing more cases in younger adults and even younger children, I suppose?
We are. Type 2 diabetes, yes. You used to see, you know, historically in an older patient population. But we see people in their 20s and even some teens being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes as a result of an inactive lifestyle, you know, all of the excessive sugar drinks and you know, fast food, all of those things like that. Now, yes, teenagers, 20-year-olds being diagnosed with a chronic disease as a result of lifestyle choices.
Right. So not just something that older folks mm-hmm. need to be concerned about. It really is almost everybody, depending mm-hmm. on your lifestyle. And so obviously this can be diagnosed and this can be managed. I don't want to say treated necessarily, but
managed.
I think the correct term is managed, mm-hmm. right? And if you're in maybe a pre-diabetes
state, that doesn't mean that you will develop full-blown diabetes necessarily, because it could be reversed in some cases.
Correct. I mean, prediabetes is at that point where if we can make some significant changes, we may never progress down the route of, you know, being diagnosed with diabetes. And so that's really where a lot of the effort and energy, you know, we need to manage our diabetic patients, but we can significantly impact. You heard me say, you know, 30 million people are affected with diabetes, but 80 million people are pre-diabetic. So that's a huge percentage of the population. And I imagine it's the same here at San Juan County, that we could manage that population to prevent them from ever getting to the stages of diabetes.
So as high as our numbers are of people suffering or with living with diabetes, the number with pre-diabetic diabetic conditions is even higher.
Mm-hmm. It is.
What we would think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just makes sense. And so some of those things would be the lifestyle changes that you mentioned. Is there medication or other things that then, I know each case is different and it's hard to, you know, diagnose on the radio for sure. But there are things that can be done for those folks, right?
There are. And the thing that's challenging about diabetes is it's not one that has these, you know, obvious symptoms. You know, some people may see increased thirst or hunger, excessive urination, things like that. But unless somebody has really, really high blood sugars, or for some reason really low blood sugars, you don't typically feel it. It's kind of a silent thing. So there's people that are at risk for it, people that are overweight, inactive. If they have a family history, you know, we do see type 2 diabetes in families. And that may just be the lifestyle that they live together. There may be some genetic predisposition to it as well. But that's what makes it hard, because, you know, if you have chest pain, you know you potentially are having a heart attack and you know to go to the doctor. With diabetes, it's a little bit different. You have to know if you're at risk for it, and then really just follow up with the physician if you have concerns about it. So it is a little bit harder to just know I have diabetes. I might have diabetes.
Right. Unless you're going to see your doctor on a regular, even a yearly basis, they would be able to certainly tell you, or at least get some numbers to start tracking some of that.
Exactly.
And that's important.
But and that is a challenge, because not everybody in this community has a primary physician, follows up with their primary care physician. And so that presents some challenges in the diagnosis. The earlier we can diagnose prediabetes, especially, but then diabetes, and the faster we can get it under control, you know, the longer a person lives, the better quality of life they have.
Right. And some of the issues I know that that happens when someone does have diabetes and develops it is, as you mentioned, eye problems, heart problems, kidney problems. And so we see dialysis and things along that line. A lot of these folks are diabetes patients, I would assume. Is that correct?
That is correct. So a lot of times patients find out that they might be diabetic by going to their eye doctor. They're just, you know, vision might be a little blurry, or they're doing their annual eye exam and the doctor notices those types of changes, because they're very distinct for diabetes. Or, yes, they go in to have general lab work, and then that's when we find it out. Here in San Juan County, we have a large population, and then the Four Corners area, a large population of dialysis patients. I mean, and the vast majority of them are a result of diabetic complications.
Right. And for folks who aren't familiar with what going to dialysis means, I mean, this is quite a life-interrupting procedure, but also life-saving procedure too, correct? I mean, you are there for hours at a time, it's my understanding.
It is. So dialysis is, once a person's kidneys fail, for whatever reason, dialysis is a life-sustaining treatment. Here, the patients have to go to dialysis treatments 3 times a week, 4 hours of treatments, and significant for the rest of their lives, unless they, you know, get a kidney transplant or something like that. But there are also significant lifestyle changes as a result of that. So very restricted diet, very restricted on fluid intake, and very restricted on like travel. So everything has to be coordinated, and it's a very hard, it's a hard life.
Right.
And then once the kidneys fail, then the complications increase even more for heart disease and some of those strokes, some of those things like that.
Sure.
So they're all interrelated, and all a huge problem in this community.
Right. And usually a snowballing effect, I'm afraid, when it comes to your health. So Interesting. Betty Fisk is my guest this morning. She is from San Juan Regional Medical Center. And now they know there is a program that the hospital offers to folks who are maybe looking at diabetes, developing diabetes, pre-diabetic, and that is something that is free to the community, correct?
Correct.
With doctor's orders or doctor's prescription and things along that line. It's Lifestyle Balance.
Lifestyle Balance, yes. That is the program. It's through the CDC. It's an evidence-based program, a nine-month program really focused on weight reduction, increased physical activity, and really teaching people lifestyle modifications in order to prevent that program. It is completely free to the public. It is a big commitment, nine months,
sure.
And it's pretty intensive,
right.
But it really has shown to decrease from national standards. It's been shown to decrease the risk of diabetes like significantly, cut risk factors in half. So we just wrapped up last year's program.
Okay.
And they had a total weight reduction of over 200 pounds within the group. They, you know, formed bonds together. So now they have a support system to help them. And it really is teaching them those lifestyle skills of increasing physical activity. They set goals for themselves. There's some accountability there. So they're doing weekly weigh-ins. They're tracking their activity. They're really looking at their food choices and how to manage that and what to do. Because we always hear, oh, you need to eat healthy, but yeah, what does that mean? And so that gives them the tools and the resources to really, really look at taking their health into their hands.
Sure. And that's a great program to offer to the community. And being 9 months, I would think that that's really helpful when you're trying to break maybe a bad habit or several bad habits that got you to this point.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes a while. And so the classes start in February. We are actually taking referrals at this point in time. It does require a physician referral from your primary care physician. PMS will make referrals. I mean, we can get referral sources, and then it's an intake, and it is a big commitment. And so, you know, that's part of it. People have to be willing to change, and that's, you know, that's where the support system and the outside influence and really impacts that.
Yeah.
But people do have to be willing to be aware and want to make a difference and change. So
sure. So it's 9 months, and then how often do you meet during those 9 months? Is it every month, every week?
It's every week initially, as you really start to try to get into that process, and then as it progresses, it goes to every 2 weeks, and then it kind of spaces out.
Gotcha.
So it is very intensive. There'll be flyers distributed. We actually just got letters out to all of the providers throughout the community so that they can start making referrals for patients. We typically cap the class around 30. Just because we find that, you know, it needs to be a smaller group. It can't be massive.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we do have people kind of leave throughout the course of it. It is intense,
sure.
But, you know, it is your life and your health. And so
right.
People that are really committed to changing go through it. And then once again, once they finish, they see huge health benefits. But then they also have created this supportive community to assist them with continuing on with it, because we all need support to really, you know, maintain some of those.
Right. And these folks have that cohort now that have gone through it together, that they can help each other and keep
Absolutely.
Them going after the fact. And
Absolutely.
So now is the time, I guess, to get that referral from your doctor to sign up for this program that will start early in 2020.
Correct.
Okay.
And the physicians know. The program's been going on for several years now.
So hopefully they've already told their patients about it if they feel that they're ready for this program.
Mm-hmm. And so that's for our pre-diabetic patient population. The organization, San Juan Regional, also offers one-on-one diabetes education count sessions with the diabetes educators. We have two diabetes educators in the organization. And so anybody with an A1C, and that's, once again, how they kind of diagnose diabetes, greater than 6.5 can get a referral to have one-on-one kind of focused education with the population on you know what they need to do to better manage it and get it below that recommended level. That's free to the public. Also just requires a referral from their primary care physician. We also offer community classes. So every other month, and they'll start in January, it's a four-week session of classes that go over really kind of some of the foundations, what it is, some high-level lifestyle changes, and then it really gets into carb counting and, you know, some of the diets, how to snack appropriately, how to manage your stress, what you should do with physical activity. And a small group, it's once a week, free to the public. It'll start, the first class will start January 9th.
Okay.
All of the classes are at the Bonnie Dallas Center, the Annex building, and it'll be every other month, January, March.
Very good.
May, August, and October.
Okay, very good. Well, Benny Fisk, we are out of time, I'm sorry to say, right? But thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much. I also want to mention we do have an endocrinologist now in the community. That was something that we were lacking for a while. And so they're with San Juan Health Partners Internal Med, Dr. Burr. And so hopefully now having an endocrinologist, we can really partner with them to have some additional resources and some additional management options for patients.
Most definitely. Well, great news. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. That is Benny Fisk, my guest here on KSJE from San Juan Regional Medical Center.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.